Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Trewell. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something that I find interesting, and I think you will too. We will be discussing War of the Worlds and several productions based on the novel by H.G. Wells. Just to kind of lay out our facts and kind of set the scene, the novel War of the Worlds was written by H.G. Wells, a British science fiction author, serialized in 1897, and came out as a full novel in 1898. It has had a tremendous run that continues to this day in American and British pop culture. It has been a highly influential work of science fiction. There are a number of incidents connected with it, one of which is the radio play done by, directed by, in other words, Orson Welles, who at that point in time was a prodigy in his 20s, and in 1938, he did a radio play based loosely on the novel and had it take place in the East Coast of the United States, and it was alleged to have caused a great panic throughout the United States. We'll be talking about how much of that actually happened and what may not have happened. We'll also be talking about another presentation as a radio play, loosely based on War of the Worlds, that definitely did cause a panic, and how that went down. And I find all of this fascinating. I just want to lay out the people involved, and give credit where credit is due, and kind of get the story straight. I think it's absolutely fascinating. And I think you'll find this to be interesting. The October 30th, 1938 radio play done by Orson Welles, and there is no connection directly, like familial, between H.G. Wells and Orson Welles. They're spelled differently. They're not related. But at that time, Orson Welles, who, to confess my origins in a certain social class, I know mostly from the 1980s Ernest and Julio Gallo wine commercials, where he said, "We will sell no wine before it's time," which I loved, and he, at a later age, still seemed to be having a great time. But my fellow Wisconsinite, because he was born in Kenosha, Orson Welles was at the time a film prodigy in the 1930s, and he went on to make, he was an actor, director, and screenwriter, and he went on to make classic movies such as Citizen Kane, The Third Man, Touch of Evil, and a number of others, and is generally considered a genius in the field. So on October 30th, 1938, Orson Welles both directed and starred in a radio play for Mercury Theater on the Air, a program on CBS Radio that was loosely based on the novel War of the Worlds, but was updated and set in the present day of 1938, in New Jersey and New York, in the East Coast of the United States. And it was done in a rather unique way as a very realistic breaking news style of presentation, that it was reported as if these were actual events that were occurring in real time, and there were limited commercials, and it came across as quite realistic. Now, Wells did a disclaimer at the beginning and at the end that this was merely a radio program, but it has become a well-known story in American pop culture that this created a panic, and that many, many people around the country thought the Martians were real, and that at least the East Coast was being invaded, and all hell was breaking loose, and hideous creatures were coming and killing people all over the place in New Jersey. And full-on panic ensued. And if you talk to a lot of Americans, that is a well-known belief. And it's not a well-known belief for no reason. It's reported frequently in the press that this was a panic, this is a real thing that happened. But when people have gone back and tried to fact-check that and tried to find evidence of an actual panic occurring, they've kind of found the opposite. They've found that really not that many people listened to it at the time, that most Americans who had radio had more than one station and could simply turn the dial and see, is this being reported on the other station? Or that station? No, it's only being reported on CBS. Maybe it's not really happening. And that really any panic at all was extremely limited. And I'll put a number of sources in the show notes, but there has been a real reassessment in the last two decades of how big a panic actually occurred. And that there really wasn't one. So why do we think there was one? Well, because a lot of newspapers reported that people were panicking left and right over this War of the Worlds presentation by Orson Welles. There was a motive for the newspapers to hype that panic to the extent that it even existed. And that was because they had suddenly become in fierce competition with radio news and wanted to make radio news appear unreliable and irresponsible. And it certainly appears, and I mean, this is very well sourced through mainstream sources, including the British Broadcasting Company, Slate Magazine, National Public Radio, that reports of a actual panic were greatly overblown, primarily for the newspaper's own self-interest, and that virtually no panic occurred at all. That's not to say no individual anywhere was disturbed by this scary thing on the radio. That certainly probably happened, but that I have no doubt that at least one person was freaked out. But a widespread panic really didn't occur, and just nothing much happened because of this broadcast, which, according to stats that I have here, which I will put in the show notes, from the BBC, about 2% of the American radio listening population was actually listening to the broadcast at the time. There were many other things on the radio, and people had multiple choices, and they just didn't really listen to Orson Welles' famous broadcast then at the time it happened, let alone think it was real and freak out and react in the way that was described. So that is a major myth in American pop culture, that Orson Welles did this War of the Worlds broadcast and everybody freaked out, and it was a nationwide, like, emergency. That actually didn't happen, okay? That, it was well-received, but it was not inducing panic in the population. Nor should it have, because it was only broadcasting on one station, and there was a disclaimer at the beginning and a disclaimer at the end, and it was not intended to cause panic, and it didn't cause panic. But Wells had a bit of a vested interest himself as a 20-something up-and-coming actor and later director. You don't want to, you know, deny that the thing you did was so awesome that people freaked out and thought it was real. So he never really denied that the panic occurred. He kind of, and I don't mean this in a harsh way, but he kind of milked it and let people think that a panic had occurred. But really, on the ground, no panic had occurred. So that's an interesting thing that I learned, because I had assumed, like everyone kind of hears about this stuff, that the War of the Worlds broadcast in 1938 had freaked everybody out, and people really thought the Martians were here, and they're horrible, and they're killing people. And that was taken for real. And it turns out, no, people were much more level-headed and treated for what it was, which was a fascinating work of fiction, but nothing more than that. I bring up this to compare it and contrast it with a time in a different time and place where people did take it seriously. And this I only learned of recently, and I want to make sure to give credit where credit is due here. I learned of the second incident on the excellent podcast, thisiscriminal.com. Or the podcast is just called This Is Criminal. The website is thisiscriminal.com. Hosted by the very talented Phoebe Judge. It's public radio affiliated, and it's absolutely excellent. If you're not listening to it, I would suggest going and listening to it, even if you aren't interested in true crime. It isn't a paranormal podcast, but it touches upon the paranormal here and there, and it just has stories that are so weird that frequently truth is stranger than fiction. And I can't praise This Is Criminal highly enough. Phoebe Judge is the host. There's a team of people that work on it, and it's an excellent podcast. Episode 200, We Interrupt This Broadcast, discusses the time that another radio station did a very realistic radio play loosely based on War of the Worlds. And that was in 1949, February 12th, 1949, in Quito, Ecuador. And things were a lot different in 1940s Ecuador than they were in 1930s America. And Phoebe Judge is careful to give credit where credit is due as well, because she heard about it from a Spanish language podcast called Radio Ambulante, which was reported on by Lisette Arevalo, who lives in Ecuador and whose grandfather witnessed the events that occurred in 1949, when the War of the Worlds radio play was adapted for Quito, Ecuador, and using very local references, was reported that the Martians were coming to Quito, and that they had invaded, and that they were killing people, and there was a mass panic. And it's a fascinating story, and I'm going to include links, of course, to hear it directly, but it is a absolutely incredible story that really happened. There are plenty of records to prove this panic actually did occur. And as Ms. Arevalo explains, in 1940s Quito, Ecuador, not everybody had a radio. Usually there was several families kind of gathering around one radio, and there weren't a lot of stations, and this was extraordinarily well done, as I'm sure Wells's was too, but this was done in a way where they had a popular musical group start out a variety show, and then they broke in and did the whole War of the Worlds thing, Martian invasion, and people freaked out. There was absolute chaos in the streets, just to, you know, provide some examples. People were flocking to the churches. People were, and these are according to her, you know, reporting, and interviews with people who were there firsthand, you know, many years ago. People were flooding the churches, wanting to confess their sins, wanting to get final absolution. Everybody thought they were going to die. People were trying to get married and settle all their affairs because the world was apparently actually ending. And it was a scene of complete chaos and terror. And the Martians are coming and they're going to wipe everything out. And it was a very, obviously a very well done dramatic performance. But people took it completely for real. That doesn't mean everybody, but a great chunk of the population took it as being completely real. And then when they found out it wasn't real, things went really bad. And that's where it got extreme very quickly. Once the people doing the radio broadcast in the radio station, which was affiliated with the biggest newspaper in the city, which had laid the scene, I'm sorry, you know, kind of set the scene, you might say, for this radio broadcast by reporting on flying saucers seen in Quito and sort of hyping it up that something big was going to happen. Once the people doing the broadcast in Quito learned that people were taking it seriously, and a huge number of people were very disturbed, immediately announced that this was fictional, this was just a radio play, you know, everybody calm down, we're just doing a broadcast, it's not real. You might think that that would settle everything down. Instead, it had exactly the opposite effect. An enraged mob began to form and show up at the radio station, and which was connected with the newspaper, and people were very, very angry. And we're literally talking a mob with torches and sticks and ready to raise some hell. And things really started to go downhill very quickly. So very quickly, members of this angry mob brought cans of gas and set the radio station on fire. And when firefighters arrived, the mob drove them off and threatened violence against them if they tried to put the fire out. Eventually, at the time, the people in the radio station were calling for police and fire help over the radio, but to a large extent, the police seemed to have thought that that was part of the show and not directly responded. Eventually, the mob was cleared out with tanks and just, you know, the military was sent in to clear them out, and they did. And eventually the fire was put out. But the estimates of death in this case, according to the New York Times at the time, were about 20 people were killed in the fire. So, I mean, this is a huge, you know, riot in response to this radio broadcast. And people were very, very angry at the people who'd put it on. And they were looking particularly for the main actor, and I believe his actor and director of the play, a rather brilliant performer named Leonardo Paez. And Mr. Paez was at the time blamed for a lot of what happened, and upon advice of his attorney, turned himself in and was tried for arson and causing the riot, but he was acquitted of all charges. But he did eventually move to Venezuela and spend the rest of his life there, because people had mixed reactions. To some, he was a very talented artist who had just been misunderstood, but others, you know, held a grudge against him, and he spent the rest of his life in self-exile until he died in 1991. He did write a fictionalized version of the events that happened, trying to explain what actually occurred, and, you know, it drastically affected his life, because, you know, a bunch of people died in this thing, and, you know, the full death toll will probably never be known, because some people died in all the chaos during the broadcast, and then multiple people died during the fire that was an angry reaction to the broadcast, and, you know, a lot of violence occurred. And, you know, people also died of heart attacks and things like that, induced by all the chaos and confusion and reaction to the absolute panic that occurred. So I say all that, say all this, that most Americans, including myself, up until like 2 months ago, had never heard of Quito, Ecuador, and everything that took place in 1949. But that was the real panic caused by a broadcast of War of the Worlds, loosely based on War of the Worlds. And meanwhile, we've all heard, it's not everybody, obviously, but I've certainly heard, and I'm 51 and I've heard this my whole life, that everybody panicked in America in 1938 over Orson Welles' broadcast of War of the Worlds. And it turns out really almost nothing happened then. But yet, we hear about that, and we know about that, even though it didn't really occur. But the time it did really occur, and there were murders and deaths and an intentionally set fire and riots in the streets that had to be driven away by, broken up by soldiers with tanks, we don't hear about that one. And that tells you a few things about how media works and how, you know, information is distributed. But I found this to be an absolutely fascinating juxtaposition, that the big panic we thought happened in America, United States, didn't really happen. But there was a real panic that did happen, and it was a disaster. And it, well, people died and other people's lives were majorly affected, and most of us have never heard of that. And so that's the story. War of the Worlds is a fascinating work of fiction. It has been done and redone and parodied and remixed and rebooted frequently. For some reason, it has really caught on in a number of countries' pop culture, and that will probably continue. And it's a great work of fiction. But it just does fascinate me the difference that the panic we thought happened didn't, and this panic we never heard of did. And that's sometimes how things go. This is definitely a true story, but a very weird true story, and certainly belongs on the weird part. And so this is a little briefer episode than usual. It tends to be brief when I'm just sitting here talking alone. I like to have guests. I'll be having some more soon. But I wanted people to know about this. I want people to have a chance to hit the links that I'm going to leave in the show notes and listen to This is Criminal by Phoebe Judge and listen to Radio Ambulante, the episode The Extraterrestrials. If you speak Spanish or if you can find an English adaptation, that'd be great. But this is a fascinating story, and it shows that people can truly overreact to what sounds like a very real broadcast, but maybe just a work of fiction. And hopefully that kind of sets the record straight. But this is, it's something worth digging into, something worth listening to, something worth reading about and pursuing. And I found it very interesting, and I hope that you do too. In any event, this definitely belonged in the weird part. This has been the weird part. I am your host, Vincent Trueball. Thank you for listening, and good night.